right, good evening, Carmel, and welcome to eHounds, your one-stop shop for everything gaming-related. From eSports New Releases, I'm Evan Onimus. With me is...
Michael Davis, as always.
And let's get right into it. Michael.
Okay, I've got some big news, and I apologize if my voice goes weird. I have a bit of a cold. But I've got big news, because the best weekend ever just happened, the best weekend of the year, and that is BlizzCon. And so there's a bunch of new announcements, new releases, eSports, huge four world championships just ended. I'll talk about two of them right now. So I'll start off with, first of all, the Hearthstone World Championship came to an end. It was between Hotform, who is a Canadian, and Ostaku, who is from Sweden. And in a 3-0 match, 3-0, Ostaku took home the championship. So no North American championship, but it was still a really fun game to watch.
Wait, so the Sweden took the championship or the Canadian?
The Sweden.
Oh, I thought you said the Canadian, and I'm like, wait, what?
The Canadian took the championship, and there was no North American champion. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sounds like League of Legends.
But no, it was really fun to watch. Hearthstone is a game that... It's just an interesting esport because there's so much RNG that goes into it, and so you really just don't know what's gonna happen.
But is it the good RNG or like the annoying RNG?
No, it's the good, fun, silly stuff to watch. Like, I mean, I guess it really just depends on your personality. To me, I say it's good because it keeps things interesting and it's silly, and so that makes it really fun to watch. But if you're someone that's like super mathematical, science magician, then you're probably frustrated by it. But yeah, no, and it was super great to watch. I wish it had been more of a close game instead of just a 3-0 knockout by Ostaku, but like, whatever. It was still great. And now we have a Hearthstone World Champion, so there's that. The second one is Heroes of the Storm. They had their final match, their World Champions now, which is Cloud9. So North American team won that. They were going up against Team Digitas, I believe, and they also won 3-0. So theirs was also just another knockout. They killed it. They had great team composition. They did really well. Overall, it was fun to watch them just kind of compete, and it was just really interesting. I loved their team compositions.
I want to hijack since we're talking about esports currently. So. How is it okay? Because Dignitas, I believe, and Cloud9. Well, Dignitas was a North American LCS team that they lost their spot because they got relegated. And Cloud9, or they're still in. But so what I'm wondering is, do you think? Because like I kind of wonder if this esports scene will change, so that when like, because I mean, you know, you have major leagues and minor leagues, and I know like a lot of different sports have their equivalences of both of them, but I wonder when esports will come into that trend and then make it so that, you know, even if you're relegated, if you're in like the Challenger series, then you can still be a team.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but yeah, so that happened. So big for esports, and there was also the WoW Arena Championship Finals and the StarCraft II Finals, which actually the StarCraft II Finals were the last StarCraft II Finals that'll happen with Heart of the Swarm. Because now Legacy of the Void, it was released yesterday, which I bought, and I'll talk about later. But yeah, so speaking, though, of Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm, staying on that topic, away from esports, though, they did have some big announcements at BlizzCon. So Hearthstone is actually, they're implementing a new adventure, which it's not an expansion, so it's not a bunch of new cards, but it's still like 30 new cards or something like that are coming to the game, along with a new adventure mode. I guess the mode's not new, but a new adventure for the solo adventure mode. And it's the Explorers League. So I don't know if you, have you played Hearthstone yet?
No.
Okay. Well, in the game, there are some solo missions that you can do, which are raids from World of Warcraft. And so like you fight those bosses, but in a card game style instead of an MMO style. And it's fun and silly and great. Now what they're doing is instead of doing a raid, they're doing the Explorers League, they're explorers. So what are you going to do? You're going to go explore. So there's a lot of things where you're not actually playing against a boss. You're literally just playing against a clock. Like, you have an X number of turns that you just have to survive because of, like, falling pillars. I just hit the mic. Because of, like, falling pillars and stuff like that, which is really cool.
Did you know that Activision actually bought the creators of Candy Crush?
Yeah, I heard about I was talking about Blizzard the other day, and someone was like, Blizzard just bought Candy Crush, and I was like, no.
Yeah, Blizzard, Activision bought
it. Yeah, Activision, Blizzard did, but not, like, Blizzard.
I think they're going to make a movie out of it, and they're putting Liam Neeson in it.
I'm sorry, how did you just say his name?
Liam Neeson.
Liam? It's just Liam.
Liam?
Yeah, Liam, not Liam. You don't emphasize the A. This is Liam.
Depends on what emphasis you put on the syllable.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, back to Hearthstone. So yeah, and actually that comes out on Thursday. So tomorrow, but this will be released later. It's already out.
We are recording this the day after Fallout 4 came out.
Exactly. So it's Wednesday right now. It comes out on Thursday. But by the time you listen to this, it'll already be out. So that's exciting.
Also, neither of us have gotten our hands on Fallout 4 yet.
No, and I probably won't. I've got StarCraft to play. Again, I'll talk about that later.
I made the mistake and went for the new Need for Speed, which I'll talk about that later.
But yeah, so Hearthstone, big announcements from that team. And also new Murloc cards, which is always great. If you don't know what a Murloc is, they're just weaklings that make the funniest noise. And playing Murloc decks is just annoying because what you do is you just fill the board with like 1/1 creatures and just destroy, and it's hilarious.
Is it the equivalent of the Zerg Rush?
Pretty much. They're the Zergs of Warcraft. Yeah, and so that's Hearthstone. A lot of new stuff coming from there. And then Heroes of the Storm announced they have a new battleground. I can't remember I think Towers of Doom maybe is what it's called. Can't remember. But apparently it's a little bit different from their other battlegrounds in that you're not going to attack the enemy's core, like their base. Instead, like, you're attacking smaller bases around the map, and when you destroy one of their bases, it becomes your base. Like, it's different from all of their other maps so far, and I can't wait to try it out. They've introduced three new heroes, I believe. Gen Greymane, who's a Warcraft character, Lunara, who's Warcraft, and then another Warcraft character, Cho'Gall. But that's where things get interesting. Because apparently what they're doing with... If you don't know what Cho'Gall is, he's a two-headed ogre. One side is, like, fighting, and the other head is magic. So, because he's two-headed, it takes two players to play this one character. So, you know, you'll have someone play Cho and someone play Gall, but, like, you're moving one unit... But you have two people playing that one unit.
I feel like you're going to have the melee person move because the magic stuff's going to take is more skill shoddy than
exactly.
Like the...
No, that's what it looked like. I was watching some videos and it looks like whoever is the melee fighter is going to be, you know, the one controlling the character and stuff like that. And the guy who is the wizard is kind of more, he can cast spells around the map and stuff like that. Much like Abathur in that regard. But yeah, so I think that's really cool. Does League have a hero like that where it takes two players to play them?
No, League is actually recently League has just been getting a lot. The only way to describe League champions now is generally they just became a lot more complex, and which I can't say if that's a good or a. I mean, it's kind of a bad thing because a lot of these really complex characters, if you can play them well, can just outclass everybody. Which, I mean, you know, you're like, well, they should be. They're a high skill thing or a high skill champion. But once you get to like the pro scene where everyone has that skill, and then you have someone who can basically shut out most characters, even at the same skill level of best in the world, you know, it can create a problem. I think the most interesting they've done, they recently announced a new person who is like. They're like a worshiper of this god of like tentacles, and so all of their attacks are based around like summoning tentacles and then attacking their opponents with it.
Yeah, that sounds like old god stuff from Warcraft. Like that's just what that is.
I mean, I don't know. The most interesting would have to be there's a painting, and I forget what the painting is called, but this character is based off the painting. It's like the mayor or something. Because what it is, there's an old folk legend that when you were, instead of having nightmares, it's basically when there was, like, this old lady who would just sit on your chest and, like, suffocate you, basically.
What?
Yeah,
you've never. What are you talking about?
The old legend of like nightmares is that, you know, there was like an old lady that while you'd be sleeping would like she'd ride her horse into your room and then like sit on your chest or something. There's a painting. I forget the name of it, but so this character's name is Kindred, and what happens is it has a like wolf sheep style, and how it just works is she's meant to be played in the jungle because that's really like that's how she works, and she has really low damage. But her caveat is you can mark enemy champions, and then you also passively mark enemy, like, jungle creeps. And if you take those down, you get, like, a stack, which each stack increases your damage by 1.25%. So you don't have a lot of damage, but that's where you get your damage from. So it's a person who they have no early game strength, but if you can get them into the late game, oh, you win.
Yeah, but so again, back to heroes. So there's Cho'Gall, so there's all those new heroes, and then they're also introducing the arena into heroes, which I don't know much about it yet. From what it looks like, it looks like it's just a map that has no objectives. It's just literally you go in and you just fight the other team. It's just an all-out brawl. There's no like points to capture. There's no towers. There's none of that. It's just go in and fight them. And from what the cinematic showed, it can literally be any team composition. So if you want to have a team composition of just, like, five of the same hero, you can do that. Like, you can have five of the same hero against five of the same hero. So, like, five Illidans versus five Illidans.
Okay.
And you could just fight.
So League... this is the thing I kind of don't like about League, but I understand what they're doing. So, you know, every couple of months, they release a special game type, which generally it cycles, but they're really fun. So the most recent one was called One for All, in which it's... everyone votes for one character, and you have five of one character versus five of the other. So I only got to play one game, but boy, it was hilarious. We were playing five tanks of the same tank versus five of this melee magic assassin who is known for being overpowered. And they couldn't defeat us at all. It was the most... It's really one-sided for some of the characters. They also have to ban some of them, because there are certain characters that have, like, the ability to damage everyone on the map. Yeah. And so you can't... You obviously just can't have, like, everyone doing that. But like, they get rid of them because they don't want to, like, bog down on the normal queues, which I understand. I don't know. I wish they kept the realm longer, or I wish they at least made it so you could do it in, like, a custom game. But... As Reddit's League of Legends community says, it's Riot. If it's a good idea, Riot won't implement it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... But there isn't really any, like, one-on-one fighting or, like, just straight-out brawling.
Yeah. And again, I don't know if that's what the arena is. To me, that's kind of what I interpreted from the cinematic. I haven't even actually watched any videos about the arena yet. So again, I don't know.
So I just
that's what it looked like.
I just realized Call of Duty Black Ops 3 has come out, and you know, that's probably one of the largest releases of the calendar year. Well, except for Fallout 4, definitely. Yeah. But we're completely rushing over.
To be fair, like, I'm not really a Call of Duty fan. Like,
I gave up on Call of Duty. So last year for Advanced Warfare, that was the last Call of Duty I ever bought, and that was mostly because I wanted an Xbox One. So like for Christmas, I got the Xbox One of that version, mostly because it came with a hard drive upgrade.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. With games nowadays, like I have like 8 games and I've already gone through half of a terabyte.
Yeah. Those games are huge.
Oh my god. It's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I mean, ugh.
But yeah. So I mean, do you have anything to say about Call of Duty? I don't have really anything. My buddy is loving it. He's playing it all the time. And he's really enjoying it, but for me, I don't have that much news on it because it's not the thing that I focus on, really.
I think we're starting to get to the point, and this is more... So I think Call of Duty is very, very heavily reliant upon YouTubers. And I think we've started to hit it where you can go check out... So, you know, Call of Duty is famous basically for their clans. And I would say they're esports, but a lot of those, like, coincide within each other. And... What happens is so I know the largest are like Optic and FaZe. Well, these people have over 1 million or 2 million subscribers on YouTube, but if you were to look at their view count, some of them struggle to break 30,000 views, which, you know, you look at PewDiePie Markiplier, that's unheard of for that to happen. And so, like, what ends up happening is is I feel like Call of Duty is just it's losing its popularity on the YouTube scene, which I feel like it's at a very, like, tipping point right now, because it's the same game every year, basically. It's a first-person shooter.
Well, I mean, that's how I feel about Halo and all of those first-person shooters.
Well, the thing is, Halo used to come out every 3 years.
Yeah, but it'd still be the same game every 3 years, at least to me. To me, all the first-person shooters are the same thing. I don't find much difference in them.
I mean, I know with Halo 3, so, like, the difference in Halo 2 and Halo 3 was, like, they had a Forge mode, which, you know, that was huge, because you could create your own maps. And they also...
But to me, like, that doesn't matter.
Oh.
A thing like that, to me, means nothing. It's just an added thing that other people can mess around with.
Well, I know...
That's my own personal thing against first-person shooters. Obviously, Halo's a great game, or else they wouldn't still be making it.
I mean, because Halo is different. I consider it to be the last of the arcade... the classic arenas where you had just shields, and then you had health, and then you like, could not aim down your sights, and it was just, like... You know, it was a bit, I would say it was like a bit more skill based because you didn't have the ability to like pinpoint exactly on the screen. And Call of Duty, they really strive for basically creating an even playing field, which, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. You can argue either way. I am not the biggest fan of it, but.
I like the sound of that.
Well, but it also means that if you're a pro player, you can just get destroyed by someone who's just getting in, which, I mean, I think it's a fine balance, but I think that there are enough unfair ways that it can get annoying.
I don't know. I think, again, I haven't played it, so I don't really know, but I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of being a pro player that can just be destroyed by someone just getting into it because the game is balanced that way. I like that because it makes getting... Like, I'm not a big PvP gamer, but... When I do play them, I don't play them that often. And so it is nice for me to be able to jump into a game, play it, and not just constantly be getting killed because I don't really know what I'm doing that much. Like, I mean, I'm a gamer. I know what I'm doing. But, like, obviously I'm not as experienced as some other people are at the game. And it would just get really annoying if I just kept dying over and over again.
Well, okay, so if you ever play League of Legends, let me recommend this to you. Get the champion Karthus. Take your keyboard, remove every single key but the R key, and then wait till level 6.
Or I cannot do that because that sounds dumb. I'm going to leave my keyboard intact and play Heroes of the Storm instead of League of Legends.
The only, because Karthus' biggest ability is he damages everybody on the playing field, but it's his R ability. So you only realistically need R.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's around, you know, hitting around the 18-minute mark for us, so we're actually going to go into a package. We're going to start out with, I did a review for Need for Speed 2015, and it's an interesting game, not entirely, it's just an interesting game, but we'll be right back here on eHounds, your one-stop shop for everything gaming related, only here on 91.3 WHJE Carmel. This week on your eHounds game review, Need for Speed 2015. Need for Speed 2015 has been on my radar for a while. But once I picked it up, it left me with a sour taste in my mouth. The game tries to keep its arcade style of old, that it has kept for a lot of the past few games. And the driving feels good, but what feels really bad is how they let you customize it. They let you customize your car by tuning it in different ways. You can either tune it so that it's more slick on the road and is easier to drift, or you can tune it so that it will stick down to the road and it'll be really hard to turn, but you will never move your position. Using the master slider felt pretty good, but there were certain times where I really had to get down in there just to make sure the car would drive the way I wanted it to. And speaking of customization, when Need for Speed 2015 was advertised, it was advertised as one of the most visually customizable games that there will be. But upon picking up the game, getting a couple different cars, and looking through all the options, you will really start to understand why the Subaru BRZ was the only car that they showcased in beta testing and at E3. There are very few cars that have a lot of parts. In fact, you can go to the subreddit and find a Google document that has every single car with every single part you can use on it documented. As I looked through it, I just kept getting more and more disheartened as I saw that there were very few cars that had true customization options like they said it would. It is something that I definitely hope they add to later. The story in Need for Speed is something that I would barely call a story. It's mostly just a bunch of events lined up one after another. And in between these events, you'll generally see some sort of cutscene that is unskippable. Now, all of these cutscenes are in full motion video, and one effect that they took great detail was to make it blend between the real life style and the generated style that your car is in. All of the actors are over the top, and I see this as a positive. It brings a lot of comedy and character to everybody that you meet throughout the game. You will definitely see everyone's wants and needs as you progress. The story itself, however, is split up into five different parts, which are speed, which is self-explanatory, just how fast you can go, build, which focuses on building your car up through aftermarket parts, style, which focuses on your drifting skills, mainly, crew, which focuses mainly on drifting or doing races, but staying together as a group, and outlaw, which is just how big of a bounty can you put on your head before you escape the cops. Each story is independent of one another, however, there are certain events that will unfold through the game just as you progress through the story. Now, the game that Need for Speed will most likely be compared to is Forza Horizon 2. If you were to look at all the stats of each game, Forza Horizon 2 would most definitely come out on top. However, in reality, it's more of what you want. For me, I really wanted an arcade racer that wasn't too realistic, but at the same time, would allow me to go super fast down the highway. And for those of you who want something similar to that, Need for Speed definitely comes out over the top. But if you're looking for a realistic driving simulator that would work great with a wheel, and are focused more on the driving experience rather than the atmosphere of the setting, then Forza Horizon 2 definitely comes out on top. One thing Need for Speed has running for it in the short term is that Ghost Games, the developers, have stated that they will be bringing post-release content updates for free, which is something that is very unusual, especially for a game published by Electronic Arts. Need for Speed 2015 is an unfinished game. If you can look past all its shortcomings like I have been able to, then you will definitely find some enjoyment within it. But if you would rather make a safe bet on a game purchase, I would either recommend going with Forza Horizon 2 or giving this game a couple months and seeing if it fares up and if Ghost Games has brought it up to the caliber that they wanted it to be on release. If I had to give a rating for this game, I would give it a 6.5 out of 10. It has good driving, an interesting story, and good car choice. But all in all, it just has a lot of major shortcomings. It is definitely not what Ghost Games envisioned when they'd be releasing the next Need for Speed. If you are thinking about getting this game, the only thing I can recommend for you is to wait it out. As it was released, it wasn't truly a finished product, and this isn't something that's uncommon in 2015. But if you're hell-bent on just getting in a car and driving really fast right from the get-go, the Need for Speed will be for you. And we are back.
Welcome back.
So I just basically did the thing with Need for Speed, but you said you got StarCraft II Legacy of the Void. Have you played it yet?
Yeah, I have. I spent like way too long last night than I should have playing it. Like, and I was only playing like 1-2 missions, and I couldn't stop. I forgot how fun it is.
Did you need to construct additional pylons?
I did, actually. And it's been so long since I've played, I forgot how to construct additional pylons at first. I was like, well, how do I do it? There's no... And then after like 2 seconds, I was like, oh yeah, it's you do this, dummy. Like, you just click on the guy and click make a pylon. Like, it's not that difficult to figure out. But yeah, no, it's great. I absolutely love it. I forgot how fun StarCraft was, because I haven't played it since I finished the campaign of Heart of the Swarm. Because, you know, if I'm going to play one of their PvP, I'm not going to PvP in StarCraft. I'll PvP in either Warcraft or Heroes of the Storm, or Hearthstone, I guess. But yeah, so I only play the campaign mode, so it's been a while since I played StarCraft, but I forgot how fun it is. I'm super addicted right now. I can't get enough of StarCraft. It's so much fun. And it's the final trilogy, or the final trilogy, the final part of the trilogy, for the StarCraft 2 trilogy. So yeah, this is the last StarCraft 2 game we'll see. Now, will there be a StarCraft 3? Maybe, probably, I would assume so. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You get to play as the Protoss, which you didn't get to in the other two games, or if you did, it was only for like a second, like one mission or something like that. So yeah, it's really great. The story is, I've only played again like the beginning of it because I finished downloading it at like 9:40 last night, but it's looking just beautiful. And something that I really liked is that I believe for Legacy of the Void, you don't have to have the other two expansions or the other two games. You don't have to have Heart of the Swarm or Wings of Liberty, which, you know, if you're just jumping into it with Legacy of the Void, you might not know what's going on in the story. And there's actually like, I think it's like 6 minutes, 7 minute cinematic of just everything that's happened in the StarCraft universe. So, or everything that's happened in the games in the StarCraft universe. The novels are a different story. But yeah, like there, you just click on the cinematic and it's called The Story So Far, and it just plays this beautiful cinematic of everything that's happened, and it's really cool.
It's like, okay, I feel like they're one of these days going to make a game where it says, are you a new player? Click here. And then it's like, all right, so we here at Insert Game Company want to create the richest story environment. So in order to do that, we created a very rich backstory. We highly recommend you read, and then it just lists like 40 different books.
Yeah.
And it's just like, now once you read all those, then you'll have to go and look up this, this, and this.
No, that's pretty much what it is. Like, if you want to fully enjoy like Warcraft or StarCraft and all those things, I highly recommend reading the books. It doesn't affect it as that much, but like it does a little bit. Cause like if you read, especially Warcraft, like if you read one of the Warcraft books and then you play World of Warcraft and you go to the place that was in the book, it's like, oh my goodness, this is really cool. Like this is the place that I was reading about in this book while like I was at school or something. And now I'm seeing it in the game, and it's just a really unique and cool feeling. StarCraft, not so much because it's not an MMO. So you can't just go. I keep hitting the mic. You can't just go like wherever you want. But it's still like you feel more for the characters. Like I very much love Jim Raynor's character, and I love him from all the books and stuff that I've read where about him and things like that. So
for gamers, we don't know how to read.
I was a reader before I was a gamer. I am a big old lore nerd. I've been reading nerd books ever since elementary school.
Does that mean you know all the League of Legends lore that no one cares about?
No, because I don't play League of Legends. But if you're talking like Warcraft lore or StarCraft lore and even Diablo lore, like I'm on it. I've read the vast majority of those books. I've read every single Warcraft book. I'm getting there with StarCraft, and I'm almost done with Diablo as well. Like I read a lot.
I just still don't understand League of Legends' lore, because it's like here you have an all-powerful mythological being who is the equivalent of an omnipotent deity, and then you have like this is a person who used extensive machinery to give themselves body modifications. How did he just destroy this almighty deity? We don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, but hey, it's a video game. You can do whatever you want.
Video game logic. This is a locked door. That's weird.
Yeah.
For a second, I was like, please tell me you got that. Please tell me you got that.
Yeah, but yeah, so Legacy of the Void is great. I love it. I love it. I love it. I actually, something that made me sad is I went into Best Buy to get it, and they've completely rearranged their PC section. To where their PC game section, and like they just don't have like anything anymore. And that's like they didn't even have it. So I just was like, you know what? They're not even advertising for it. I'm gonna go to GameStop instead. And so I went to GameStop to get it.
Wait, why would you go to Best Buy instead of GameStop?
Because the GameStop in Clay Terrace isn't my most favorite place. They have some pretty nice people, but I've had some pretty bad experiences there with customer service. The last few times I've gone in have actually been pretty good, but I've just had a few bad things, and I love Best Buy. Every time I go in there, they're super nice all the time, that's why I prefer to go there. Mm-hmm. But yes, but I went to GameStop, and I went yesterday, and it was fine. It was great, actually. I went, and I was walking around, and I was looking for it, and again, they didn't even have it out either. I'm like, come on, this is like, I get Fallout 4, I get it, it's big, but like, StarCraft 2 is also pretty big. But they just didn't even have a shelf for it. It was in the back. Like I was walking around in my Heroes of the Storm shirt and my World of Warcraft jacket, and one of the ladies saw me and she was like, "You looking for StarCraft 2?" And I was like, Yeah, you know. But, you get it.
But Fallout 4, man.
Look,
like,
I get it. I get Fallout 4 is a big release, but I don't care. I just want StarCraft.
I don't think you get how big of a release it is.
No, I get it's huge. Like, everyone I've talked to is loving on Fallout 4, but I don't care.
It's
I
like
want
this, it's like
to play
the,
StarCraft.
It's like the seagulls from Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just Fallout 4? Fallout
mine?
4?
Mine? Mine? Is it mine yet? Can I have this one?
Can I have this one?
Yeah.
Oh, my. There was a surprising lack of Reddit posts, you know, for Fallout 4. Then I just thought, I'm pretty sure everyone is playing the game.
Yeah. No, I actually, when I went to Best Buy and GameStop, like, they just had huge things for Fallout 4. Like, Best Buy outside has this Fallout 4 standee where it's like, hey, we have Fallout 4 inside. Come buy it. And GameStop has, like, this is, they had a poster outside, too, that was like, this is unit whatever number is related to that game.
This is unit whatever number is related to said game.
Exactly, like, that's literally what it said.
It was probably 111?
Maybe. I can't remember.
You didn't care enough.
I don't, I'm gonna say it now. We're on esports, we're talking about video games, we love video games. I don't care about Fallout 4. I say it now, and I will say it again. I don't care. I just want to play StarCraft.
That'd be like me saying Valiant Hearts is a bad game.
And you would be wrong, sir.
Well, you are also wrong to not care about Fallout 4, sir.
I know, but see, no, I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm sure it's a great game. I just don't care about it because I've got StarCraft 2 to play. But yeah, so back to the story, though. So the lady was like, you want StarCraft 2? And I was like, yeah, I do. And so she went to the back and grabbed it. And then I started talking to the guy as I was buying it, and one of the guys was like, hey, you should check out the collector's edition, because it's really cool. And so he went to the back, and he grabbed a collector's edition box, and it's super heavy. Like, it's a really heavy box, but it's so cool. Like, it's just shiny and blue and gold, and it's, oh, it's so cool. But it's not on the shelves. Stupid Fallout 4 is taking all the shelf space in every single store.
Here's what you need to understand, though.
And a little bit of Black Ops.
There,
like, that's taken.
So for Fallout 4, none of that shelf space was taken by collector's editions because all those things were sold out.
Yeah,
we've talked about this two hours after their press conference. Well, yeah. So here's the thing: they're taking up all the shelf space. They're taking up all the shelf space with just normal copies, not even collector's editions.
Yeah, and it's annoying. Give StarCraft 2 some shelf space.
I mean, they can't. They gotta sell all their other. It's been really weird seeing GameStop change from just only games to, like, the shirts and the keychains.
Oh yeah,
and
I love it though. Like, you can even get some posters there. Like, it's
you could
great.
Before.
Yeah, but like not when I was younger, I'd go into a GameStop and they wouldn't have shirts, they wouldn't have keychains, they wouldn't have the pop vinyl figures, they wouldn't even have posters. They'd just have games. And now they've got that stuff.
But it's a GameStop. It's not like a...
Yeah, but games over, as time's gone on, games are more than just games now. I mean, they're a way of life, really. They're a living for a lot of people. And so, you know, as games have evolved, so does GameStop. Now they have the shirts, they have the pop vinyl figures that people love. And it's also a way for GameStop to stay afloat, because I love GameStop. I think it's a great store. Except for the few bad customer service things that I've had. But I like it. I love the one in Castleton and all that stuff. But yeah, I think it's a great business model to have, to sell all those other things as well.
Oh, okay.
You did not care a single word.
Not
that I
really,
said.
Because for me, it's just I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get my game and I'm going to get out of there.
Really? I make it a whole experience. Like, I'm not a big shopper. You can ask anyone. Like, I'm not a manly man, but the one, like, man thing I do is I hate shopping. I can't stand it. I when I'm going to a store, I know what I want. I know where it is in the store. I go, I get it, I buy it, I leave. When I go to GameStop or when I go to Best Buy, those are the only two stores where I'll actually stick around in, because I just like to look at everything. It's a cool environment, because when you go into GameStop, you're surrounded by gamers, and when you go into Best Buy to the gamer section, it's gamers. Not so much at Best Buy.
Yeah, you generally see parents.
But what?
You generally see parents.
Yeah. But at GameStop, you are. You're surrounded by gamers, and it's really cool, especially when it's busy. Now, like, I've gone in there a few times when there's just no one in there, and that kind of sucks. But, like, yesterday when I went to buy StarCraft 2, there were a bunch of people in there buying Fallout 4, not StarCraft, of course. But still, like, there were a bunch of people in there, and it was just cool to just chat about games with them. because you don't find that a lot in Carmel. Like in New York or LA or like big cities like that, you can find these big groups of like, hey, we're all gamers and we're all this community that we hang out online and then we're gonna hang out offline and stuff like that. But in a city like Carmel, you don't really have that as much. Like, you don't have people waiting in lines to buy the newest expansion for whatever game. You just, you know, people are just kind of, they do their thing. And so that's why I really like going to GameStop, because it's a mini version of that environment.
So we're around the 30-minute mark. So we're actually going to go, yes.
Wow, we are flying through this.
So we're going to go on to another one of our packages. Michael, I believe yours is would be up next.
In the spirit of BlizzCon, I have made a package for the soundtrack of World of Warcraft. November 6th and 7th were huge days in the world of gaming. Why? Because that weekend an event occurred that is one of mine and many others' favorite events of the year. That event was BlizzCon. So, in honor of BlizzCon, on this week's Composing the Sound, we will be looking at the game World of Warcraft. Now, I know I focused on two composers last week, but I feel since there's so much music from the World of Warcraft from multiple composers, that focusing on this one game would be for the best. So, without further ado, let's jump right into the music of Warcraft. The World of Warcraft has many soundtracks and many unique audio pieces, but to start off, we'll focus on the game's original soundtrack, created by Jason Hayes, Tracy Bush, Derek Duke, and Glenn Stafford. The first song on the soundtrack is called Legends of Azeroth. Legends of Azeroth is a song that has many variations of it, created to play when you are logging into the World of Warcraft. The song sets the environment and creates a setting for war, loss, love, peace, and hope. The 2-minute and 41-second orchestral piece really shows what it is to be a legend. Next up is a piece titled War. While it's only a short 40-second recording, it's the piece of audio that many machinima makers have used to create that battle-like environment. However, not everything in the World of Warcraft is about war. Weird saying that. But there is a lot of fun and games to be had in Azeroth, and where best to find those but at a tavern. This song you'll hear when you walk into the cozy tavern after a long day of adventuring. You'll hear this piece and really feel at home with a nice warm fire in the hearth and good company all around. There may be a war outside, but within the tavern, everyone is safe. What would a fantasy game be, though, without its major human knight theme? That's what the composers of Warcraft bring in here with the piece titled Stormwind. When you hear this, you'll truly feel like a heroic knight of old, striding through the streets with your armor clinking and your sword at your side. This theme brings in what it truly is to be a warrior. Warcraft is a game that has lasted over 20 years, and as such, has more than just one soundtrack. So, let's take a look at some music from the other Warcraft soundtracks. This song, The Dark Portal, comes from the World of Warcraft's first expansion, The Burning Crusade, and was featured in the opening cinematic. Composed by Russell Brower, the music fades in and out of the light violin tunes of the Blood Elves to the hard music of war against the Burning Legion and Outlands. The score ends with some heavy dramatic music that in the cinematic had some killer voice acting over it. Zaxxis, a score off of the Cataclysm soundtrack, is the music that shows the World of Warcraft being broken. Every part of this soundtrack inspires fear and hatred, and just by listening to this piece, you know something big and bad is coming. However, like I said, not everything in the World of Warcraft is about fighting to the death. Sometimes you just want to go relax on the Isle of Kazan, where you'll find those nasty goblins blowing everything up. This score, also featured on the Cataclysm soundtrack, is all about the silly goblins and their tropical island paradise. I absolutely love the Warcraft universe, and the music within it is just amazing. The composers have done a really great job, and I can't wait to hear more. That's all I have for you today, Carmel. So, until next time, this has been Composing the Sound with your host, Michael Davis.
And we are back.
Welcome back.
It is actually really, we're recording this much earlier than we normally do, so forgive us if we sound very tired. Both of us probably just woke up about an hour ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like I said, I stayed up all night playing StarCraft 2.
Literally all night?
Pretty much.
Oh my goodness. I didn't do that to playing Need for Speed. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but I kind of wish I got Fallout 4.
I mean, according to everyone else in society, you probably should have gotten Fallout 4. According to me, you should get StarCraft 2 Legacy of the Void, because, like, why not?
Why not? Because my PC's running out of hard drive space?
Well, get some more.
Get some more?
Get some more.
This doesn't just grow on trees.
We should make that.
That would be...
We should make a tree that grows.
You just have to call it the tech tree and it just grows things.
Exactly. It'd be beautiful. Don't water it, though. Because then you're dumb.
Oh my gosh, that is great.
Oh. Yeah. Speaking of, I guess not speaking of, but back to all of BlizzCon, I've still got more announcements. Like, I'm not even done with that yet. World of Warcraft Legion, huge announcements from there. Like, we already knew it was coming out. We already knew what Legion was. But they've released so much more about it through the Q&A panels and all that. Something that's I don't even know where to start with it. Like, there's just so much that I'm so excited for. They're working really hard on it. The Demon Hunter new class looks amazing. They're working on they've redone all the class specs in the game. So now, like, if you're playing a Shadow Priest, you are like a Shadow Priest, and it's really cool.
Are you literally a shadow?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, you can go into shadow form, and then you are a shadow. Like, it's cool. And, like, they no longer use mana. They're using insanity now, because why not? And it's everything they're doing. I'm so excited for it. It looks great. The cinematic trailer was released. So great. You had just, like, this big old airship, and King Varian Wrynn fighting alongside Sylvanas Windrunner, just beating down these infernals and demons and stuff. I can't wait.
You can't wait. I can.
It's so well. That's because you're dumb.
That's because I don't play. I actually ever since junior year, my gaming habits have like dropped from playing a decent amount to just like I don't. I only really play new releases and then like on breaks.
Yeah. Yeah, I just play Blizzard games all the time. That's all
you got. You have a laptop just on you at all times.
Pretty much. I have Hearthstone on my phone. So, like, if I don't have access to my laptop, I'll just play Hearthstone.
Does this mean are you gonna get Candy Crush then? Now that they bought it?
No, because that's on the Activision side. I only play the stuff. I mean, not only, like, it's not like Activision. I dislike it. No, but like I focus heavily on the Blizzard side of things because that's the company I love. I love Blizzard, not necessarily Activision. Activision's cool. Skylanders looks great. I've test played it at like Best Buy before. It's kind of fun. It's not a game I think I'll ever get, but Skylanders looks pretty cool. Along with, I mean, this Call of Duty, which we already talked about. But yeah, so good going Activision for what you do. Guitar Hero is also an Activision game, which Guitar Hero Live.
No, Guitar Hero, I thought that was an EA. I thought it was EA.
No, it's Activision.
It was EA, wasn't it?
I don't know. All I know is it's Activision now. And they came out with Guitar Hero Live, which is great. I have a buddy who loves Guitar Hero, so.
That game was milked so much that's how it died.
Yeah, no, it's... They had like 8 expansions in like 1 year.
They were just sequels. They weren't expansions.
Yeah, whatever. Expansion sequels, same thing.
No,
not really, not
no.
really at all.
Not,
but
not
whatever.
At all. Your PC gamer is showing.
Yeah. Look, whatever. Doesn't matter. But yeah, so there's that. That came out a while ago, or a little bit ago. I don't know. If you like Guitar Hero, there you go.
I think, I don't know if there have been any other major releases. I think there was Anno 2205, but that, I don't know how that was a city builder game, although yeah. I don't know if it would be right up my alley, since as you know, I prefer very complex financial systems.
Yeah, we talked about it in length last podcast.
In length of my complex
about how much,
love for financial systems.
How much I think you should not make an MMO ever.
Watch you make it and it becomes like a bestseller.
I doubt it, sincerely.
You doubt it?
Sincerely doubt you. Nope.
I feel like it could be done.
No.
Yes.
No, it couldn't. If you don't know what we're talking about, check out our last podcast. There's a long conversation, debate, really, between Evan and me.
But I feel like I could do it better than North American League of Legends teams perform at World Championships.
That's fine. I don't... Yeah, sure. Give it a shot. Let's see how people like your financial systems.
We actually never talked about the League of World Championships. That actually happened, I think, about a month ago, which a Korean team won. No one was really surprised. It was a team, so they now have there's only been 5 seasons. They now have 2 World Championship titles under their belt.
Nice.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was, they almost went flawless. They lost one game in the finals. to I think it was another Korean team, but they were like the 3rd seed, yeah. But that was a very interesting, just like at length. And then I think now League of Legends is currently in the preseason, which I don't. There's changes. I've looked into them, but I don't know. I don't know how it's gonna work since nothing official is out yet. So, in other gaming related news, I know November's the big. Well, I know Steam Box has come out, but I know we talked about that like a while ago.
Yeah.
We, you know, prices range from, like, I think $450, the cheapest, like, $5,000.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen... I know the Steam Controller and Steam Link have come out. You know, I find that to be a very interesting trend of, like, taking over the living room with either, like... So, Steve, you have Steam Link. I know Razer has some sort of home link. Google released, like, it's called, like, the Nexus Play, which is another version of some home link thing. And then consoles, that's basically all they are. Or you also have stuff like the Ouya, which I think that's what that tried to be. But you just have all of these different, like, companies that are trying to make, like they're just trying to make an, I don't know, I just find it weird. what are your opinions on it? Just like either, you know, like so something like the Steam Link where you're not, it's not a computer. It's just like a stream, like a game streaming service.
My opinions are PC Master Race. And that's all that matters.
But I think that it's like a serious thing, at least in regards to the casual market.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably should be more knowledgeable than I am right now.
Well, I haven't seen any reviews for it because... I feel like it's a product that no, and I mean, I mean, I know I'm using like actual gamer. I mean, I'm pretty sure some casual or even some hardcore people have gotten it to see what it is, what it's like. But I mean, I just don't know what it would like, how that would work or.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you either.
But I still also find it weird that so Google got into it too. Like,
wait, what?
Google. So Google has their own thing. So there's like the Razer version, which it streams games. That much I know. The Steam Link streams games.
Yeah.
And then and then the Google. It's called like the Google Nexus Play. It's like part of their Nexus series, but it's like it's just I don't know. It's just I feel like they're just more devices trying to make TVs into smart TVs, which I feel like that's all it's trying to do, but add a gaming side to it. I mean, I don't really know how to feel about it, but I don't feel like it's going to be a revolution like mobile gaming was.
Yeah, no, I think the way to feel about it is it's fine. Like, it's cool. Good for those companies for doing stuff. At least they're not doing nothing.
At least they're... Well, I mean, but like Google, you don't even need to talk about Google, but like Razer makes all their other stuff. And then like, well, I mean, Steam Link... Has Steam ever fixed their customer service? I actually hear that they get, you know, terrible reviews when it comes to customer service.
I'm not sure. I know they changed their return policy a while ago. They did some stuff with that, but as far as customer service goes, I'm not sure.
Okay, because I remember, I forget what I heard, but it was like something about, I know seeing a bad review for their customer service and how it was just abysmal compared to like the size of their company.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
Which I mean, I don't know. I still hear. I feel like the gaming. I don't know. The gaming industry really hasn't like evolved into the like customer's always right. Gotta, you know.
Well, hopefully it doesn't, because the customer is never right. The customer is almost always wrong because they're the customer and they don't know what's happening. Take this from a guy that works in the food service industry. The customer is almost always wrong. Like, even when they think they're right, they're not. Like, I know, like, what's going on. And that's the same thing with the gaming industry. People will complain, and it's like, no, you're just wrong. The developer knows what's up.
Well, I know part of it's also, like, a lot of people are like, you know, I don't like always on... Well, I can't use always online games, because I think everyone doesn't like those. But whenever you talk about, like, I don't like this, this, and this, but yet you still buy their games. I mean... The gaming industry is at least very, I don't know the correct term for just like, they say something, but then they'll say, we're not going to get this game,
going to do it, yeah.
Like, which I know part of that has to do with parents.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we talked about this a little bit last podcast about how it's just because the majority of gamers, or at least a lot, maybe not the majority, I don't know the numbers, but a lot of gamers are children. Or, you know, young adults, people who still live at home, and so their parents will buy them games and stuff like that. So even if you're like, oh, this game is going to be bad, it's like, well, it's not coming out of my pocket if my mom buys me the game. So, like, it'll still get bought.
And speaking of that, we're going to go to our final package, which this is for me, and it's a continuation on last week's for the talking about just, like, how to get into gaming, especially since it's the month of November. And we will be right back. There are many different types of games, and depending on what you game on, the types of games you get can vary. For those of you who play console, your game selection is already semi-limited, as many consoles are not the best at supporting indie development. But despite that, there is still a lot of choices you have at your disposal. From what I've played, I can only tell you what does not work on console. Games such as real-time strategies, massive multiplayer online games, and multiplayer online battle arenas generally don't play as well as their PC counterpart. If, however, you play on PC, then you have a very large array of games to choose from. And with the indie revolution, not only will you have a large amount of games to play, but a large amount of relatively inexpensive games. But be careful. When it comes to choosing what to play, you want to feel satisfied for every dollar you spend. You especially want to watch out for indie games, as some of them will only give you a one-time, 5-hour experience for $15, and that experience will be good, but it might not be worth $3 an hour. Likewise, there are some indie games that are $15, but can give you hundreds of hours of great entertainment. being well worth the pennies or fraction of pennies per hour you experience. With AAA titles, you generally won't have this problem, as a studio will make sure that a game is well worth that $60. And as the holidays are coming around, Black Friday and Cyber Monday are great times to get games, and certain digital distributors have season-specific sales where you can get a large amount of games for a very small amount of money. But when buying games, especially if it's for a younger child, one thing you will have to look out for is the rating system. The ESRB is America's dedicated game rating board, like the MPAA for movies. It regulates what games come out and what they are rated. This is good for many reasons, but the biggest is that it will keep violent and mature games out of young children's hands. There are multiple categories that will fit under a rating that determine if a game can be sold to anyone or if it requires a driver's license to purchase. For more information, I would definitely recommend that you visit ESRB.org to find out more. You can also talk to your local game store owner or representative, as nowadays, selling mature games to minors is a serious crime and carries a very hefty punishment. It is also a good idea to trust your game store employee. If they recommend that you do not get your child a game, it's a good idea to trust them. I have seen many parents think that a game like Grand Theft Auto, where sex and violence are very common, think that it is a simple driving game and it's harmless. All of these ratings will be on the front of the box in the lower corner, so definitely make sure to just check out that letter. If it's an M, I would highly not recommend it for anyone under the ages of about 15. But whatever you decide to get, make sure you have fun and game on. And guess what we are right now?
Welcome back.
All right, we're back. All right, so ending off of that, we have about, 3 minutes left. So is there any like last minute things you'd want to add?
I think I covered most of it. My big thing was just BlizzCon. I was super excited about it, and I finally got to share it without people just looking at me like, what are you talking about? Because anytime I talk about any Blizzard game, anytime I talk about games in the high school at all with any of my friends, they're just like, are you speaking English? Like, I was talking about StarCraft the other day, and someone was like, are you talking about a movie? Are you talking about books? Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, look, you just don't get it. But yeah, so I was just, really, I just wanted to share all that stuff.
Yeah, when I was, like, younger, my parents would take me into a game stuff. They're just like, yeah, we take you in there because we have no idea what you're saying, but we know that the people you talk to know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's actually, like, it's pretty fun, though, to talk about, like, if you at least have someone to talk to, it's just hilarious to be in a group of people and talk about gaming with another gamer, and, like, everyone else has no idea. It's like you're speaking a foreign language. Like, I suck at foreign languages, but I speak gamer very well.
I speak gamer. Can you put that on your resume?
I feel like I should be able to. Like, if I'm applying for a job, I should be like, I speak gamer. They're like, wait, do you speak like Spanish? Or like, what does that mean? I'm like, no, I speak gamer. Like, I speak nerd.
Okay.
It's what I do.
Okay. That reminds me of a story. So, Indiana University was given like $917,000 to like study memes.
That's great.
Like, I don't even...
I want someone to pay me to study memes.
I'm not even... Like, just memes. I don't know how. I don't know. And I think this was funded by the federal government.
Why?
I don't know.
For what purpose does this... Are they trying to be like, what does the youth like within these stupid pictures?
Maybe, I don't know. I looked into it a bit on Reddit and saw there were a lot of people who were like, they're doing this because... memes are something that, like, only youth really understand, and because youth really only understand it, it would be a really easy way.
I'm not sure youth really understand memes so much as they just like them. Like, what is there to understand within a meme?
Well, this is what I meant. Well, so what they think is a lot of people were theorizing that you can put in, like, subliminal messaging and propaganda into it to be understood, and so that way it's, like, a secret way of communication via the internet that the government currently doesn't understand.
That's like
tinfoil hat. Yeah,
it's unbelievably stupid.
It was
so dumb.
That's what people were theorizing on Reddit. On Reddit, you hear it still.
That's so dumb. I hope people are smarter than that.
I mean, why else would the government give a college $1 million to study memes?
I'm not sure. I don't like what is government. Are you trying to get control us through memes? Because, like, that's sad. That's just really sad.
And with that, we're gonna end it here.
Government, don't be mad at me. I apologize. You're really cool. You guys do good stuff.
We might see you guys in 2 weeks. We don't know. Depends on if this turns into 1984.
Yeah. But so, like, I do support you.
With that we'll have to end this edition of E-Hounds every other Saturday from 8 to 9. Here on 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds. I've been Evan Anonymous. With me has been
Michael Davis. And welcome back.
And we will
told you it's my catchphrase.
We will see all of you later.